Hello.
Hello.
Ah, salam and good evening to you, worthy friend. Please, please, come closer.
Too close, a little too close.
Welcome to episode 86 of the Disney Brit podcast for Wednesday, the 18th of January. And it's usually at this point that I say hello to Juz and he comes up with some sort of witty northern remark about something quite funny, like drinking gravy or racing his whippets. But he's not here, unfortunately. But we do have three very special people with us who are Disney Brit Idol finalists who are here vying for Craig's not so warm seat anymore. So we have to say in order, we'll do it in alphabetical order because then that's all fairness and love and war and all that sort of stuff. Hello, Kez.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Kimmy.
Hi, everyone.
And hello, Nick.
Hey, guys.
It's brilliant. I get two hello and one hello from the three of you. So these are our three finalists who made it through the first voting round and were just, I've never seen marketing of oneself so proficiently done through social media. Honestly, the three of you, it was just insane. I think, Kez, didn't you start up a Facebook group at one point?
Yep.
I think Kimmy had got tweeting every single person known to man.
Yep.
And Nick thought, stuff that, I'm just going to go for the Disney Store president.
Yep.
And he got the Disney Store president to retweet the tweet you sent in, which is quite impressive, I've got to admit. You know, and I think we have to say thank you to you guys for doing it. We have to say thank you to all the guys who basically took part, the other sort of six or seven, and for everyone who voted, because, you know, we kind of did this thinking, we'll put it together, we'll have a few people who might want to do it, you know, we'll put the poll up, maybe there'll be a couple of people who'll vote here and there, you know, maybe a few hundred, and then by the end of the week we had over 2,500 votes.
Wow.
Which is quite just insane, really. It's just insane and a little bit crazy. So we're now down to our top three. So let's say hello to each of you, and I just want to know a little bit more about each of you. If you've not been on DisneyBrit.com already, you can go over, and there's some questionnaires we asked all of the guys to fill out, and we have posted all of the answers to their questions on the website, along with a suitably embarrassing photo from Facebook. Did I not tell you about that bit? Yeah, there's a suitably embarrassing Disney-style photo.
You could have picked a nicer one.
Well, you see, I had a choice. Kimmy, I had a couple. And then Kez's were all, like, wedding nice photos, and I just had to try and find one that didn't look as glamorous. It was quite hard. So, Kez, tell us a little bit more about you then.
Well, I run a web development business during the day, but I'm a massive Disney fan, so I try to channel the things that I do in like web design and iPhone apps and stuff towards Disney things. I've grown up with Disney since forever. My first Disney film was Lady and the Tramp, which I saw with my mom in the cinema. It was the first film I actually even saw in cinema as well. I remember saving up really hard. My first Disney video was Little Mermaid, and that has been the biggest probably Disney influence throughout my life always is Ariel. As most of you have probably seen through the campaign pictures, it's me as Ariel, because I do dress as the Disney princesses as like a hobby. I make the costumes and then go to events and promotional things to help out, and it's just such a brilliant experience. It's doing something Disney, so my ultimate job would be being a princess in a Disney park, but obviously it's not really a reality for a lot of people. And having to have a day job as well, this is a brilliant thing that I can do on the side to express my Disney stuff. And it's just brilliant when you get little children coming up to you, and even like full grown women like squealing when they see Ariel and things is brilliant. And the feeling of making someone's day because one of the most important Disney things to me is living as Walt would live and really pushing through. That's why, so obviously, I have my own business, so he's inspired me. And there's a book about Walt's life that I've been reading, and how he's such a big inspiration to me as a business owner and starting up from nothing. And there's this one particular story where he was literally down to nothing. He was sleeping in the studio, he didn't even have the money to get his shoes back from the repairer, and he was eating beans just cold from the can. And the dentist came up and said, "I'll pay for your shoes." And then that's how he got into the doing the cartoons for the dentist, etc. So just things. So he came from nothing to build such an amazing thing that's made so many people happy. And I find that a big inspiration in my life.
You sound like a proper Disney fan, so I don't think you're any good to us. Thanks a lot. No. Oh my word, she actually like knows stuff about Disney. That scares me. Kimmy, what about you?
How the hell am I supposed to follow that? Well, I don't have an exciting job, so we'll skip that part of my life. I've always been into Disney. Done all sorts, really, Disney-wise. I don't think there's a room in my house that doesn't have anything Disney in it, and that includes the bathroom. I think there's a Disney toilet seat, there's Disney sign on the door, and I don't know why I like Disney so much, but it's just something that I can so relate to, and then relate to other people with it as well.
Okay, lovely. Right, Nick.
That's a great impression. I appreciate that. First of all, before I start, I know Kez mentioned about Walt being so poor, eating cold beans. I do that anyway.
Yeah,
and I recommend it to anyone who hasn't tried it.
You spend most of your money on Vinylmation.
That could be a reason. I hadn't put those two things together. But yes, that could well be the reason why I like cold baked beans. My job, I work in an office. I sell paper for a living. So anyone that's ever seen the Ricky Gervais show, The Office, it's almost identical to my everyday working life, except my boss isn't quite as cringeworthy as David Brent was. My first Disney film was apparently Bambi, but I was so young I don't remember it. And the next one I saw was Snow White, and I do remember it because I cried at the end when she died. And I was mortified. I think I was about 4 at the time. But when I watch it now, it's fine. It's fine. Ever since then, I've been a big Disney fan. I proposed to my now wife at Walt Disney World. And we went back there for our honeymoon just after we got married. And visit Disneyland Paris whenever we can. And as Adam mentioned, a huge Vinylmation fan. And probably spend way too much time and money looking after the little 3 inches of plastic.
There's nothing wrong with that. The 3 inches of plastic people are lovely, as he says, looking at his shelf with Vinylmation in front of him. Right, thank you. Right, let's do some... before we do some news, there's something I want us to talk about very, very briefly. Craig Lucas, many of the people in the UK Disney community will know Craig Lucas. Craig Lucas does lots of stuff and has some weird and wonderful ideas and some good ones as well. And he sent me a question a few weeks ago that I thought, do you know what? What is he on about? This is complete utter madness. He's talking rubbish. And then I suddenly thought about it a little more and thought, well, has he actually got a point? And I asked you guys to sort of put your thoughts to this, and so the question he asked me was, sort of in the past year, have Universal Studios been hitting home runs with these brilliant ideas and with every announcement they've made, and then Disney only sort of reaching second base? What with their announcements of things like the expansion of Harry Potter, the closing down of Jaws, what was going out in Hollywood and all those sort of things. Have they in fact been sort of beating Disney to it with a lot of these ideas? I'm kind of interested to know what you three think. So again, we'll sort of go alphabetical order again. So start with Kez and then work our way around.
Well, it is true that Universal have got all these big things, especially with Harry Potter. And I think it's quite lucky that they do have Harry Potter, because that is now a big icon for Universal theme parks. And a lot of children can relate to that, whereas a lot of their other characters they couldn't really relate to. So any news to do with Harry Potter is always going to be really exciting to like all the fans and all the people that are not necessarily fans of the theme park, but fans of Harry Potter. I think that Disney has a more educational view on the things that they do. So the thing that really excites me at the moment, and obviously because it's part of my job, is all mobile technologies and stuff, the Sorcerers of the Magic Kingdom, where they're not just opening a new attraction, but they're turning the park that's already there into one massive attraction that you can explore. And obviously, it being Disney, there's lots of hidden details. So I think that's something that Disney does really, really well, is all the hidden details and innovative use of technologies. And obviously, they have their cruise line, which I think has been a big thing over the last year or so, is their cruise ships. And there's a story that I heard recently about Crush, you know, the interactive portals they've got at the moment for the people without the sea views. Crush came, talked to the little boy, had a conversation with him, and then he was having dinner. Crush swam up again, remembered the little boy's name, and continued the same conversation. And I just think it's things like that that Disney has over Universal. So yeah, they might be hitting things because they're using the Harry Potter thing, like it's a big sledgehammer all the time. I think that's where the focus is drawing, rather than on Universal, the parks itself. So in that respect, it seems like they're hitting big, whereas Disney are doing all these other maybe smaller things, but more interesting things.
Okay. Kimmy, what do you think?
Well, I definitely don't agree, and I think you've got to put things in perspective here. Whoever got Harry Potter was going to make these sledgehammer moves, like Kez says. If Cypress Gardens had managed to get Harry Potter, Cypress Gardens would still be here. It's a foregone conclusion. Whoever got that franchise was going to be successful with it no matter what, because it's such a big, successful franchise. So I don't think Universal have, other than getting hold of Harry Potter, I don't think Universal have done anything really necessarily better than Disney. It's just, compared to Harry Potter, the decisions that Disney are making seem a bit tame to what Universal are doing. I mean, you've got to remember, they've just recently announced that they're going to open two parks 24 hours. And everyone's gone, that's not really exciting, is it? Well, no, it ain't compared to a Harry Potter world and Harry Potter land and whatever else Harry Potter's going to be doing. But put it into perspective, they're opening two theme parks for 24 hours. Who's done that before?
Okay. Nick?
I would say Universal definitely do appear to be on a roll of late. I don't think it's a surprise that the Wizarding World has been the amazing success that it has been, and I think it's purely down to Harry Potter being the biggest kid brand in the world at the moment. And that's not a knock at, you know, anything to do with Disney. I think that is, you know, just a fact. I still feel, as a park though, it's lagging behind Disney in so many areas. I mean, City Walk is no Downtown Disney. The theme of the park is mostly patchy. I mean, not so much in the islands, but definitely in the studios themselves, things just seem to be randomly put in places. Mm. And of course, then Disney did make their big announcement themselves of Avatar, which, I mean, could be huge. And I'd rather it was something to do with a Disney franchise, but, you know, the next biggest kind of movie franchise out there is Avatar. And I think it was Disney's only option after not getting Harry Potter. What they need to really do, though, is come up with some kind of ride for that, like that land, which rivals something like Spider-Man or the Forbidden Forest ride at Harry Potter. Because everything Disney had done recently, even, you know, Toy Story Mania was the last big attraction I can think of, and it's a great, you know, attraction, but that's what it is. It's just another spin on something they've already done. They really need to come up with a big ride like that. The only thing that really ties Avatar, though, with Animal Kingdom, as far as I'm concerned, is the fact that Avatar's based around a Tree of Life, which also seems to be the thing behind Animal Kingdom. Mm. But at the end of the day, Universal's a two-day park. Yeah. You know, you can pretty much do, you know, three at a push, depending on how busy it gets. The genius that they've done with Harry Potter now is making the second part of Harry Potter in the studios. So it means now, if you want to visit the entire Harry Potter section, you have to buy two theme park tickets.
That's very true. Mm. That's something we discussed a little while back about that. But my point of view with this is I think Craig's kind of right. And I don't think there's an issue here that Disney aren't trying to do stuff to compete with Harry Potter. The problem is that when Wizarding World was announced, it was announced just before they announced Fantasyland expansion. And with it and it's open sooner, so people have seen it and appreciated what that's going to be. And the issue with Fantasyland is it became a bit of a mess in the fact that we're going to have this and this, and then they took Pixie Hollow out and this was going to go in instead, and we didn't know 100% certain what was going to go into Storybook Circus, and people were a little bit like, well, how long is this going to take? I think it's going to be amazing when it opens, but Universal have been very, very clever. And then they've announced the Despicable Me attraction that's going to now be coming to Universal as well. There's rumour that Transformers is coming. So it's like they're putting a lot of these e-ticket attractions in. But I think that the biggest thing for me is this latest announcement that Universal turned around and said, we are expanding the Wizarding World, it will expand in Orlando. And Disney's response was, well, okay, we're going to open our parks 24 hours on the 29th of February. Now, as Kimmy said, and she's dead right with this, nobody's ever done it before. But also at the same time, if we look at the expansion of Wizarding World and the 24-hour parks, the expansion of Wizarding World is actually going to give people a massive opportunity to go and see it. And it's going to be open all day, every day. Whereas the 24-hour parks is just for those people who can get there on the 29th of February. Yeah. So although Disney have sort of responded with what I think is a great idea, it's not going to have the same impact as an expansion of Wizarding World. No. It's almost like they've come up with something to try and compete with it, but they've not quite done enough for me. So I think Craig's kind of, from my point of view, I think Craig's right. I think Universal's marketing and strategy has been spot on, and Disney have just been playing a little bit of catch up. But then saying that, if we're talking about the Disney brand as a whole, they then completely trump them with the reveal of the brand new Disney Fantasy. And I think this week, if we're right, Disney will then do it again when they announce some new itineraries for the Magic and the Wonder for 2013. So it swings and roundabouts really as to what you look, how you look at it, whether you're looking at it just being Walt Disney World or the Disney company as a whole. Anybody got anything else they want to add to that?
The only thing I would have said to do with the Avatar thing again is I can't wait to see what happens with the Disney Imagineers when they meet with James Cameron.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the T2 attraction, admittedly, it's showing its age a little bit now at Universal, but for its time, was, you know, a very clever concept. Mm. And he was very hands-on because it was a property that he was, you know, fully behind. So, I, you know, it'd be really interesting to see exactly what they've got up their sleeves for it.
Yeah, definitely. And from what I understand, he's already been in initial discussions with Imagineers. I know he's been seen touring the parks with Joe Rohde and with some of the other, Meg Crofton and those sort of people as well. And Tom Staggs, I think, was also there. So that's already begun to be in place. My problem with Avatar is that I still haven't seen the film.
Oh,
I've still not watched it.
Have you seen Fern Gully or have you seen Dancing with Wolves?
Fern Gully, yes. Dancing with Wolves, or a long time ago.
Same film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just
see,
with,
do you know what?
Robots.
Suddenly it doesn't fill me with really wanting to go. That's my problem with Avatar, is yes, okay, I can see why Disney have gone for it, and that's fine, but I need to watch the film, and I need to try and get excited about this, because not through with doing out the prom, that's wrong, but everyone was going, how amazing this film is, it's the most amazing film in the world, and at that point I just went, you know what, it's so hyped up, this is going to be trash, so I'm just not going to watch it, I don't want to watch it, and I still haven't got around to watching it, and I will now, if I've got it, I'd watch it, but I haven't got it, so I need to watch it sometime soon to see if I can sort of get hyped up for Avatar. But it does seem that the second film has now been postponed to 2016,
yeah,
which is the same time that the Avatar Land area in Animal Kingdom is expected to open, so...
I mean, what worries me about this whole Avatar Land thing is, the first film was good, and it was a good film, I can't knock the film, but the sequel hasn't even been out yet. How do they know the sequel is not... I mean, I hope it doesn't bomb, but how do they know it's not going to bomb? At least when Universal did Harry Potter, the books were successful, and they had a few successful films out at that time before they sort of brought it all on, but I just feel it's a very big, and I was discussing this last night with a few people, I just find it's a very big risk to take when the sequel hasn't come out, and not only that, the sequel is going to have, as far as I'm aware, correct me if I'm wrong anyone, the sequel's not going to have really that much to do with the first film, so it's going to be like a standalone film on its own.
Well, that's good, so I still don't have to watch the first one to watch the second one.
So I just find it a really big, and I hope it pays off for Disney, I really do, but I feel like it's a really big risk, and I just sometimes wish Disney had stopped competing so much with Universal and look at what they've got already and try and use other franchise, like Nick said, franchises of their own or characters of their own. They can compete with Universal to an extent, but Universal's more about your thrills and your and your movies, whereas Disney's more that family ethos. And you know, and while Harry Potter Land is magical, it's never going to be Disney magical. Well, not in my eyes anyway. And I just feel that Disney need to just stop and just, you know, take a step back and just, like, I mean, look at things that they can do. Like Kez has mentioned, the sorcerer thing, that's amazing. I was watching that on YouTube last night and it was just, wow, the detail and the effort that's gone into that. And I just wish they'd, I just wish they'd stop trying to compete so much.
It seems like you compete a lot, like, and they're very quick to react to things without thinking things through properly. Especially like that Hyperion Wharf disaster that's gone on. And fair enough, there's like loads of nightclubs, close them all, or like at least leave one open. But the absolute killer for me was the Adventurers Club going.
Oh, don't even get me started.
And that is the most unique thing. Like, I took my mum and dad there, and my dad loved it. He was like, it's like a Carry On film, but in real life.
That's exactly what it is.
It is. And I was like, how can they close down such a unique thing? And I campaign really hard for the Adventurers Club to like reopen. I've done all the writing campaigns and everything. And I just think it's things like that that they really need to admit they're wrong.
Yeah.
Go, okay, we'll put it back in, because that would draw. It never made a loss. It was drawing people in. There were queues always outside. And it's something that's absolutely uniquely Disney, and that magic, like when things start coming to life and everything, you're not going to get that anywhere else. So they need to stop reacting to what other people are doing.
Has putting Comedy Warehouse back in Hollywood Studios over Christmas almost Disney partly admitting that they were wrong with that?
That's what I think.
Yeah,
and there's that thing they had for the cast members that had been there 10 and 20 years, and they did that Adventurers Club dinner.
Yeah,
and my heart just leapt when I saw the Colonel on that stage, because there was someone from the theme park reviewers there, and they were posting up videos. And apparently some of that was put in to Hollywood Studios along with the Comedy Warehouse stuff. So I think that's them slightly admitting they're wrong. But I think any Adventure Club stuff out of context just loses the magic slightly.
Because they put some of it into D Street? Was it D Street?
Yeah.
They put the zebra and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And some of it's gone to Trader Sam's in Disneyland.
Right.
And I saw, because I'm going to Disneyland, luckily, at the end of this year for my honeymoon, finally. And they've got some of, they're trying to be a little bit like the Adventurers Club without the characters everywhere.
Yeah.
And so if you order a cocktail called the Shipwreck, big spoiler here, like all the lights go out and there's like this big ship in a bottle and it all goes nuts and everything. It looks amazing. So they're trying to tweak it a bit. And I was like, really, I'm excited to see that, but just bring back the Adventurers Club, really.
And finish Hyperion Wharf. Do something with it, because at the minute it just looks a mess.
It's ridiculous. Like, they tried, like, it was nice that when we went there in October for the wedding, they had that wonderful festival on, and there was a brilliant band called La Calle who played there in the bit by Bongos. It's a big grassy area.
Right.
And this band are fantastic. They played a lot of things like party rock anthem, things like that kind of music with a Latin feel, and had everyone of all ages dancing, because people used to get their drinks at Bongos, walk round, and then just dance the night away to these guys, and they're absolutely fantastic. And so things like that are brilliant, like the live music that they've actually properly bothered with now, because they used to have a little bit of live drumming and stuff outside the Adventurers Club, but that was just nothing compared to the actual. And now they've actually started bothering with live acts. It's starting to get better, but they still need those unique things that I can't get anywhere else, because that's, they need to keep the people at Disney, which is something they always strive to do, and that's something that the Adventurers Club was doing.
Right, okay, there we go. we've just gone completely off where we started and gone completely on a tangent, but that's absolutely fine. Right, as we're about 25 minutes into the show, I suppose we should really do some Disney news. So here is this week's Disney news and rumours.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
Thank you.
starting off with me this week, because I've been doing some digging and a little bit of research, and I suppose by the time you listen to the show, you'll have some idea as to whether or not this is true, but there's a possibility that Disney are bringing the Disney Magic back to Europe for 2013. Now, this is pure rumour at this moment in time. They brought the ships back in 2011. I went on the Disney Wonder. That's right, yeah. The Disney Wonder around the Mediterranean last summer. It was the most amazing cruise I've ever been on. Flying into Barcelona and then cruising out Barcelona around Italy, Spain, France, that sort of stuff. And it was just stunning. And the sort of Mediterranean influences. You got a photo of me with Goofy dressed in his flamenco outfit. And then there was Donald in his and Minnie in hers and that sort of stuff. It was just brilliant. But we know Disney this week will be announcing what is going on with the Disney Cruise Line, and it seems there's a possibility that they could be coming back to Europe because some of the port schedules have been released, particularly one for Gibraltar, and there is also one for Madeira that's come out. And what happened was, when Disney originally brought it out, they put their name on it, and they've quickly taken their name off, because in the port schedules, it can tell you what ships will be in when. And I looked on, it was believed to be the 28th of May that it was going to be in Madeira. So I looked on the 28th of May in the port schedules, and there's loads of ships on there, all named Carnival, that sort of stuff. And then there's one that says the 28th TBA. I thought, to be arranged. Well, surely if it's in the form, it should be there. So I clicked on for more, and I looked at the length. It said length 294. I'm thinking, well, it's 960 something feet. It's 964 feet in length, the Disney Magic, which does equate to 294 meters. So I thought, okay, maybe that's right. Then there's the IMO number, which I discovered was like the ship identification number. I inserted the ship identification number into Google. That's it. Well, I put, and it came up with just pages and pages of ship Disney Magic. So they've already booked some 2013 ports, but whether or not they're provisional or not, we don't know. Now, we're expected to hear something back this Wednesday when there's a press announcement that's going to be in Miami, and they're going to be what we expect to be announcing, that the Wonder will be doing Miami. There'll be a few Hawaii in there as well. And if we're right in thinking it, the beginning of 2013, the Disney Magic will do sort of the Texas, Galveston itineraries, and then we believe sometime towards the middle of May we'll go over to Europe, we'll go to the Mediterranean, we'll stop in places like Gibraltar and Madeira as a transatlantic. And then a recent survey from Disney came out that they're looking at doing a possible 7-night Eastern Med, which would include Barcelona, Nice, La Spezia, Rome, Naples, Palma de Mallorca in Spain, and then Barcelona, which is pretty much, other than one stop, identical to what it was this last year. And then there's two 12 nights that they're looking at, which is going to be from Barcelona again, going to Nice, La Spezia, Rome, Salerno, Venice, which will be an overnight stop, Ravenna, Dubrovnik, and then back to Barcelona. And then finally another one they're looking at, which is from Barcelona, then Nice, then La Spezia, then Rome, then Athens, then Ephesus, Santorini, Salerno, and then back to Barcelona. The 7-night cruises apparently will be starting from $1,459 each, with the 12 nights apparently running from starting at $2,509 each. It is all still rumour, as we have already said. But what do you guys think? Is this something you could be tempted with?
I'm so excited about this. I can't contain myself, to be honest. For some bizarre reason, I kind of missed the whole cruise thing first time round when it was in Europe, and then listening to what you said about it, Adam, and then listening to Craig's review on his, and then just speaking to other people and reading a lot, I'm so excited. It's even gone to the fact that if they announce that it's doing a Europe cruise, I'm actually postponing my next Florida trip by a year just so I can go on the cruise. I'm that excited.
Wow, okay. Kez?
Yeah, the cruises are definitely worth it. I did one, unfortunately, about 10 years ago now on the Magic. When it first started, that was around St. Thomas, etc. And that was absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, if it comes to Europe, I'll be straight on there.
Nick, are you a cruiser? That sounds really wrong, doesn't it? That rephrase it. Nick, do you enjoy cruise ship holidays?
You're asking me after what happened this week?
Yeah, it's not the same company, it's fine.
I mean, I've been on small cruise ships before. I've taken a few trips to Norway my time, because I've got family over there. The whole cruise ship thing totally passed me by, like Kimmy said, until it was being spoken about by yourself and Craig on the show earlier. And then I was like really interested, and I read up on more, and when they were building the new ships, looking at the technology they were putting on the ships, and the little touches they were doing, and found it really interesting. Mm. I'm planning to go to hopefully California next year, or if not, Walt Disney World. So it depends. I mean, it depends on what kind of price they're looking at, and if they were the same kind of prices they were when they were here last year in Europe, or the year before now, isn't it? Mm. So if they're along those kind of prices, then I will probably be quite tempted to beg, borrow, steal to get myself a ticket.
Beg, borrow, or steal. Uh-oh, here we go. They were truly amazing, and I think if they come back again, we're kind of in Kimmy's boat here, actually. This year we are going on a cruise. We aren't going Disney. We're actually having a year of not a main Disney holiday, which hasn't happened for years. I know. I think we're going to head to Disneyland Paris in October. Tell me about it. You don't know how much of a... How much I've been like, but I have to go to Disney.
How did you get talked into that one?
We've done Disney a lot, darling. That's where it started. Yeah, okay. And we were going to go. We were going to do Walt Disney World summer 2013. That was the decision. We'd go back. We'd do probably 2 or 3 weeks. Then I found out about this, and I was like, oh. So if the cruise comes back and they aren't astronomical, I think we're going to do what Kimmy's doing. We're going to postpone Walt Disney World until April 2014, do the cruise in summer 2013. Possibly a 12-night this time, because we did the 7-night last time. It will be quite nice to be on the ship for longer. Because I found that the ship, although the ship was amazing, because we were off all the time going to look at the ports that we're in, we didn't get that much time to really just enjoy the ship. And, you know, it is just such a truly magical Disney experience. What with, you've got your Vinylmation and pin trading that just goes on the whole time. Every afternoon was the Disney trivia quiz, and it just became a bit of a ritual that we'd just go and sit in the bar and we'd play. And I would usually play on my own and quite often win, which annoyed the family down the other end too. There was four of them and I kept beating them. But I did make some nice friends on board who came with me eventually. And I have to say hello to Andrea, because I know she'll be listening, and she came and she became my trivia buddy, and we would all sorts of things, which was cool. But if it comes back, it will be amazing. And if you want to know more about sort of all of this room stuff that I've got, head over to DisneyBrit.com, because all the info's over there. There's a load of rumour stuff and sort of what could happen and why this might not be true. But interestingly, while we're talking about this, I have just looked on the Disney Cruise Line Twitter page, and they are currently writing out on there, well, they're putting pictures up, which says, where is Disney Cruise Line headed in 2013? Follow today and tomorrow for photo clues. And they put two photo clues up so far. One looks like it's Hawaii, which we're kind of expecting. And the other one is looks like a Navajo Indian. So there's some clues for you. Anyway, that's the first piece of news. Let's head over to the parks then. And it's Kez and Epcot.
Right, from March the 7th to May the 20th this year, it's going to be the 19th annual Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. They're going to be continuing their partnership with HGTV, which is a home and gardens cable channel in the United States and Canada, which specialises in programmes dealing with home improvements and renovations. And you're going to have the experts from these shows, as well as the Disney's experts, who will do hands-on demonstrations and doing question and answer sessions for you. So it's going to be a real great opportunity if you want to add some Disney-style curb appeal to your gardens, or maybe meet some of the stars from these shows. Some of the stars that are going to be presenting include John Gidding from Curb Appeal the Block, Jason Cameron, DIY Network's Desperate Landscapes, and Brandon Johnson, who is the host of My Yard Goes Disney. So if you want to see more of the presenters and the full lineup, if you check on the DisneyBrit.com website, there's a full list of when they're going to be there and what they're going to be doing. The ones given by the stars of HGTV and the Disney is going to cover all ability ranges. So whether you're planning your first garden or going to try something a bit more adventurous to give the Disney wow factor in your garden, you're totally covered. And it wouldn't be the Flower and Garden Festival without those famous Disney toperies that you see everywhere. And during the festival. They're just absolutely fantastic. Because I saw a brilliant one when we were there in October, and this was like outside of the festival, and this is how good it was, of the Lion King with Rafiki holding Simba outside the Animal Kingdom. And it's just so fantastic how they can make something so brilliant from just like bushes and make it so true to the animation. So expect to see lots of exciting toperies, including Woody and Lotso from Toy Story 3, Lightning McQueen and Matus from Cars 2. A lot of other fun activities going on. There's Bambi's Butterfly House, which is going to feature hundreds of native species of butterflies, which will be flying amongst the toperies of Bambi characters. And I know this would be a big hit in my family because my dad is the hugest butterfly fan. Like, his passion for butterflies comes extremely close to the level of my passion for Disney.
Wow.
So it's kind of like a perfect combination for both of us. So I know that's something he's always been dying to go and see. Pixie Hollow fairies are back, and you're going to get your favourite fairies in topiary form. And there's going to be like little play structures amongst that for a little ones like 2 to 5 year olds to play around with. And obviously Disney can be a bit mental in the parks, especially during like festival times. It can get a bit crazy. So the Nature Conservancy have made a Sounds of Nature exhibit, which is going to offer guests relaxing sounds of nature to help chill you out with all the chaos going around. So then once you've had your fill of all the gardening expertise, you can relive the flower power days of the 60s and 70s with the flower power concerts, which are going to be held at the American Garden Theatre and will feature bands like The Guess Who, Chubby Checker and the Wildcats, and Davy Jones. And these concerts are going to run from Fridays to Sundays throughout the festival. And most importantly, they're included with your Epcot admission, as are most of the demonstrations. And there's a full list of who's appearing and when on the Disney Brit website. And I must say, these concerts are fantastic. I haven't personally been to the Flower Power ones, but I've been to the Eat to the Beat ones, which is a similar thing for the Epcot Food and Wine Festival. And when we were there in October, we saw Boys to Men, which is absolutely fantastic.
Wow.
But big tip, get there early and queue, because people go nuts. And I don't know if it was the Epcot Food and Wine where people were taking the drinking around the world to the extreme and getting a little bit, but there were women turned into animals. It was quite frightening. And so another good tip, if you want to get near the front to see any of these people, queue up for the next show. And if you're like at mid or at the back and you want to be at the front, let that one go in. And then stand, there's an entrance way where you go in, and just stand just before that, wait for them all to go, and then you'll be at the front for the next one. So yeah, lots of great stuff going on. And as I said, the majority of all of this is included with your park ticket to Epcot. There are other things like Epcot Gardens of the World Tour. So if you want to go for that little bit extra, you can get a tour from a Disney horticulturalist. It'll be a 3-hour guided tour, especially for like the garden enthusiasts. But that will be a $60 extra charge. But if you want to have that little bit of extra Disney magic, then that'd be perfect for you.
Fab. Well, there you go. That pretty much tells us everything that's going on as part of that. Very well covered. Excellent.
Thank you.
Right. Not as much information for Kimmy, though, so she doesn't have to give us every single band known to man or every single HGTV presenter we've never heard of. So, Kimmy, over to the Magic Kingdom. What's going on with the parade?
Well, I've got a story for all the lucky, lucky people. Not that I'm jealous at all, because I'm stuck in miserable Yorkshire and they're in Florida. Between the 20th and the 1st of February, if they're planning on going to watch the Celebrate a Dream Come True parade, and they're walking down Frontier Street 5 minutes before the parade starts and they see all the fantastic spots still open, don't go stand there. You haven't just won the lottery. It's actually because the parade isn't going in Frontierland. This is due to repair works on the flooring along parts of the parade route. What it is going to do is it's going to go up Main Street, do a 360-degree loop around the central hub, and then make its way all the way back down again, not actually going anywhere near Frontierland. And even worse news than that, I'm afraid to break, is that the Main Street Electrical Parade won't be performing at all during them times.
Boo.
Boo indeed.
Although it would be quite difficult, I suppose, with Main Street Electrical. That'd get really confusing.
You can just imagine all these poor people look at you and say, share this information. They're going to think it's Christmas when they're in Frontierland and all the good spots are still there 5 minutes before the parade.
Yeah, they're going to sit down.
You see it happening, can't you?
Yeah, because I know exactly where the best spot is. I don't want to tell you where the best spot is, actually. Is that right? The best spot is right, I think, is right by Pecos Bill. There's a walkway that they have there that allows people through just before where the parade starts. It's right sort of as it bends round. And we literally sort of stood there with the buggy and we waited. And as soon as they were shutting it off, we went, go! And we got right in front of the little walkway that they close off and got a perfect spot for the parade without having to queue. I've given that away now. And if I ever see anybody there trying to take my spot, I will. Right, okay, so parades change. Although, I suppose you do get to see the parade twice in one day, which does bring the what time is the 3 o'clock parade? Well, it's at 3 and then it's at 4:15 when it comes back, I suppose. Right, staying in the Magic Kingdom and staying with Park Entertainment, Nick.
Yes, the Magic the Memories New, which for those that don't know, is a show at the Magic Kingdom and Disneyland, which uses Cinderella's Castle or It's a Small World in California for a giant projection show. The show, which launched in early 2011, has recently had a Christmas update. However, they've just announced this will be given a new romantic theme update in time for Valentine's Day. This new version will start performing from the 3rd of February, and there's a picture on DisneyBrit.com that of the press release photo, which shows a Cinderella castle covered in rose flowers and thorns, with a stained glass window in the middle featuring Belle and her prince, who I believe he's called Prince Adam. Is that right?
I think he might be, actually. Yeah. It's very impressive.
In like a mid-dance embrace. I've only seen videos of the normal version of the show. I've not actually seen the show perform myself, but it looks great, and I can't wait to see what other effects they're going to be doing for the other princesses.
Yeah, hopefully they'll have some other stuff as well. It's very convenient, though, that they've managed to put Beauty and the Beast one up at the same time as Beauty and the Beast comes out in 3D.
Synergy.
Synergy, or very good marketing. I'm not quite sure which one. I love the fact we've got some girls on today, because you went, I think it's Prince Adam, and I went, I think it is, and the Kimmy went, yes, it is. And it's good, because then we've got princess answers, and I don't have to worry about answering. That's fine. Now we have just lost our princess, haven't we? I know Craig will be listening. Oh, it's back to me. I better do some news. We're talking about the House of Interventions, which I love the House of Interventions, and I was so disappointed every time I went to Walt Disney World and it was closed. And on my last trip, I was like, come on, we have to go to House of Interventions. And I got there and I was like, oh, doors are shut, it's not open. But they have announced that the House of Interventions will be reopening as something called Vision House, which is going to be a new look, I suppose. It will still be a house, but it'll have some new technologies from different companies. Just want to read you the press release that came out of Las Vegas this week. It says, imagine visiting your neighbour's home for the first time and realising that each room features innovative products that allow this family to live more sustainably and comfortably than you ever thought possible. I can imagine that's the first thing you think about when you go to somebody's house. You leave having had a lovely dinner and go, isn't it lovely that their house has innovative products that makes them live more comfortably and gives them a more sustainable life? Yeah, it's what I always think. If it gets you thinking about your own home, what if? That if is now possible. Household names focused on delighting families everywhere have teamed up to bring the house of the future to you today. A new Interventions at Epcot's Green Home exhibit will feature products and solutions from Ingersoll Rand Brands Train, the leading manufacturers of heating and air conditioning systems. I'm hoping it's not just going to be a heating and air conditioning exhibition. It would be quite dull. And Schlag, which also sounds really, really wrong.
Oh, how do you say that, Adam?
America's most trusted number one in security. Vision House in Interventions at Epcot at the Walt Disney World Resort launches in April in collaboration with the Green Builder Media. Will demonstrate how the latest advances in technology allow homeowners to reduce their impact on the planet while making their homes more sustainable, safe, comfortable and efficient. Right, anybody else read that and go, rubbish? Because I want it to be an Avenger. I want mirrors that talk to you, and I want knitting machines that do it by themselves, and sewing machines that do nice things and stuff like that.
Thing is, though, I mean, have you seen? I don't know if anyone else has seen this, and this isn't trying to be product placement, but there was an exhibition in Vegas last week, and Samsung announced a window. It's called a smart window. And it's a fully, it looks like a, you know, it's a normal window you can see out. It's a one-way window. but it's got a function so you can blinds appear and you can turn the blinds as you need them to be. If you want to black them out, it'll black out the window completely, and you can run it like a monitor, really, like a computer monitor, run all things off it. And what I used to love about House of Inventions is the fact that you used to see that kind of technology, and at that time, it wasn't possible. Mm. I think maybe the problem with the house as it stood is that all the technology in there that was so, you know, in the future is now becoming more and more or near to be an everyday thing. So maybe we've had to look at it a bit differently, otherwise it's going to get too dated.
Right, yes, I agree, and I do see where you're coming from. It's just kind of that bit when it starts talking about Green Builders Association and sustainable, safe, comfortable and efficient, and I start thinking, I don't want a house that's efficient. I want a house that's full of really cool gadgets that I can go, I want one of them. I don't want a house.
I think that's the thing they need, like, especially for children going around there. If you want to engage your children, you want them to see something looking cool that they can tangibly see and, like, maybe interact with, rather, because they don't, at like 10 years old, they don't really care about sustainability. I know it's an important I know it's an important rule they need to learn, but it's a rule they need to learn, but they really need to see other cool tangible things as well.
Yeah, you're right. It's exactly what they need to see. I've just gone onto the Schlag. I'm not going
to
say it.
I'm just trying to look at Schlag now.
I'm just looking up the Schlag while we're talking.
It's a tagline. Like, it's a Schlag.
Also sounds really dodgy. Built-in alarms and handle sets and doorknobs and door levers. Brilliant. The history of doorknobs. No, forget that. That's just going wrong. That's right down the wrong line, isn't it? No, I don't like it. That sounds rubbish. Anyway, it was my piece of news, and I'm officially saying it's rubbish, therefore it is. Right, something a bit more exciting. ESPN Wide World of Sports. Get it the right way around.
Yeah. The Atlanta Braves have announced their spring training dates for the coming year. They're going to be playing 18 games at Disney's Worldwide of Sports Complex, which is going to include 3 night games. The games will be starting from the 3rd of March, with their last one being the 2nd of April against the New York Mets. And you can get your tickets through Ticketmaster. They start from as little as £10 plus fees. And they also offer little mini plans, which for one price, you get to go to 3 games. And the 3 games they list are usually like consecutive days or nights. So it's not any 3 games that you fancy seeing. But that's great if you're a baseball fan and you're on vacation during that period and you're looking for something to do outside of the parks and some sporting activity to go and watch, then this is a perfect opportunity. And they start from about $84.
Okay. And they've got some pretty decent opponents again this year, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really they've got... obviously New York Mets, New York Yankees, mm-hmm. which should be a good one to see, the Miami Marlins,
nice.
And the Detroit Tigers.
See some good teams out again. Mm. It's always great because it's not that expensive. Unfortunately, it just falls just before our Easter holidays if you've got kids. But has anybody managed to get to any of these spring training games?
No, not for me.
No.
Well, great, we're all experts on that one.
So it's the Atlanta Braves that do the training there as opposed to Miami.
Atlanta Braves have just done it for years. They've always been the ones that have booked it up to come and do their spring training camp, and I think it's probably too close for Miami.
Yeah, I think it's been like 15 years or something.
It's been something ridiculous like that, mm-hmm. yeah. They've always come and done it. It's almost like it's become a tradition for Atlanta Braves. And that they've started doing it, and I suppose they will continue to do it until they've had enough, and then someone else can come and give it a go. But yeah, I don't know why Miami come and do it. I don't know whether Miami's a big enough team, I suppose, to get the draw. I don't know. That's a very good question. Right, let's head back into the parks then. Kimmy, we're heading over to Test Track.
We are, yeah. After all the speculation that's been going on for God knows how long now, they've finally announced what they're actually going to be doing with Test Track. Obviously, the relationship between GM and them, they've renewed. So it's, and I can't say this because I'm not right good with cars. Cars are colours to me. So if I say this wrong, I'm going to apologise now. I don't do makes of cars. I have a red car or a blue car. That's as far as it goes. A Chevrolet Design Centre.
You got it right.
Yeah.
Yay. Mm-hmm. So it's all going to be based around the... I don't even know what a Chevrolet looks like, if I'm honest.
It's got four wheels and a steering wheel and an engine. That's all you need to know.
Well, that's fair enough then, as long as it goes, that'll do me.
It goes forwards and backwards and turns when you turn the steering wheel. There you go.
You can get them in red and blue.
Just come in red and blue. I was worrying about that, Nick. I were a bit concerned whether or not it were going to come in red and blue.
Yeah, the left side's blue and the right side's red.
It's a Disney brick car, there you go.
Oh, I love it. Let's have a Disney brick car.
Little white Viper stripes down the front, there you go.
Yeah, good. I'll have one of them. You'd order me one. Sorry, Ken. Can we?
No, you're fine, don't worry. Right, so apparently it's going to involve... And I don't know if I'm understanding this right. Are they actually getting rid of the actual track and everything and turning it into like a simulator, right?
No, I believe the track is staying the same.
Right. Well, it's from what I sort of got from the story is that you're going to be able to design your own sort of car and track. I might be misunderstanding it.
I think
it.
That's part of it. I think the idea is that they'll be doing that as part of the pre-show, I believe.
Oh, is that the pre-show? Mm. I must have misunderstood the story, because how I read it was like, because I was like, then I can't be getting rid of that bit, surely.
Oh, no.
But at the pre-show, then guests will be able to create their own custom concept vehicles. And then obviously they must be doing the bit that I was scared they were going to get rid of. And then they'll go into a post-show area where they'll get a score of how well that their pre-show area car did. And then they'll get to go see the very latest Chevrolet cars in red and blue.
Ooh. No, just red and blue.
Just red and blue.
Nice. I like that, just red and blue. That sounds good. I'm kind of pleased they're doing this. The only reason I'm pleased they're doing this is because it's got to the state where there's a lot of things that don't work in that attraction anymore. I used to love the effect of just before you went through the wall, seeing that car crash.
Mm-hmm.
And that car's not moved for years. And it's a shame it hasn't, because it was such a unique effect. So I'm glad they're putting some money into it. They're going to refurb. I'm also kind of pleased that it looks like they're going to maybe go interactive with the queue line as well. Because if you're queuing through that entire pre-show or that queue line at the beginning, it's not that exciting. It's educational, but it's not that exciting.
A bit like the Vision House.
A bit like the Vision House. Maybe it's not going to be a green, sustainable pre-show and queue that will use air conditioning, security locks and schlag. And,
schlag.
Yeah, and that. Anyway, oh, it's going to be the running joke, isn't it? Right, we're going to jump on a plane and fly over to Disneyland Paris, because Disney are doing something really unusual. Well, Disneyland Paris is doing something really unusual. They're actually telling us what's coming soon.
Yep.
And Nick, I believe you've got the information.
I've got to be honest, I'm really shocked. When you told me to, or you said like you wanted to have this story reported, I thought you'd made it up. But lo and behold, a short trip to DisneyBrit.com, and you too can see the magical video that's been made by the people at Disneyland Paris. I mean, just to give you a brief rundown of the video, there's going to be a new nighttime spectacular for the 20th anniversary, as well as a nighttime show based around the World of Color concept, which you may have seen in California. They're opening the Fantasyland Theatre, where you can meet Mickey in a backstage environment. I'm guessing this is kind of based on what they did in the Magic Kingdom recently with the new Mickey meets and greets. And it says you can interact with him and see props. And it sounds pretty interesting anyway. And I think the biggest problem for me with Disneyland Paris when it comes to characters is the kind of slapdash way that you get to meet them. So I think maybe doing it in this fashion will make meeting a character like Mickey a more pleasurable experience than what it currently is. There's also a new daytime parade, which has new songs and costumes created for the special anniversary. On the video, they show some concept artwork for some of the floats, and they do look amazing. There's also some princess carriages featured, which I think will follow the main floats. There was a Cinderella float with the fairy godmother, and then the next thing they showed you was a version of the glass carriage that they travel in at the end of the film. So I'm guessing that's probably the way they're going to be going about with these. And they also had new and vibrant costumes for Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Goofy, Chip and Dal, which also looks amazing. So, I mean, even if you just watch the video to see the concept for the parade and the costumes, I do recommend it. I think probably the biggest announcement, though, certainly for me, was the Disney Dreams show, which is the nighttime base show that I mentioned earlier. It was going to contain, according to the video, many effects which will be new to Disneyland Paris, such as projection on the castle, fire, lasers and water effects, which will also act as water screens. The castle water will become, in the words of the creators, a canvas for the show. From the video, it looks like projection mapping is going to be used, which can create some amazing effects, such as the castle crumbling in front of your eyes. And when, sorry to sound like a bore, I mentioned Tron, but when they did the stuff for Tron Legacy, they did some projection work on the South Bank and also in Tokyo when they had the premieres for the film. And the projection effects they did on the buildings was amazing. And if you go into YouTube and type in projection mapping, there's some stunning work, and they do show a small clip of it in the Disneyland Paris video.
They do,
so you might get a small idea of what they're going to be doing. But I really cannot wait. It does say the celebration starts on the 1st of April, so I can't wait to make my way over there and see the show myself.
Are you planning on heading over there for the actual 20th?
We're not. I don't know. It's trying to get time off work at that time.
Yeah.
Is what's going to be tricky. We've definitely got some trips to Disneyland Paris ahead of us this year, because the last time we went, my wife had bought a annual pass because it's cheaper to buy the park tickets. So you have to make use of having an annual pass. So we are going to try and go back at least twice this year to make use of that. So one of them will probably be about May time, I think.
Okay. So it's close to when it's just started anyway. This Disney Dreams just looks stunning. You've got to admit, it's just unbelievable what they're going to do with that. They've already started to sort of put in the new jets that are going to be outside the front of the castle. We know the projection techniques that they're already thinking about doing anyway, because they've begun to do those in the castle in Walt Disney World. Is this something that's going to get you guys to want to go to Disneyland Paris this year?
It's definitely got me wanting to go. We haven't really been fans of Disneyland Paris, despite you pushing it and other podcast presenters I speak to pushing it to me. I don't know why, whether it's just because it's in France and I don't like the French and they don't like us, I don't know.
At least you're honest.
But I've never really wanted to go, but then watching that video again has completely changed my thoughts about it, and I've hopefully, fingers crossed, managed to talk Aaron into going this year purely just to go see all what was on that video.
I think it's a brilliant use of, again, with the technology, and it's kind of like having a Fantasmic World of Colour and the Magic Memories and You all combined in one, like, massive thing. So I think it's definitely something worth going over for.
I completely agree with you, and I'm desperately trying to work out how I'm going to afford to go over for the actual 20th. I'm kind of thinking, look, I can get a Eurostar for 70 quid. I've got to do this and do that. I'm desperate. I really want to go. I don't think it's going to happen, but I want to get over there ASAP and see all the stuff that's going on, because I know it starts 1st of April, and there's a lot of stuff already happening as well with regards to that. What I'm pleased to see is the new meet and greet with Mickey. That looks like it's going to be almost a carbon copy of what we've got in Walt Disney World down in the Main Street, the Town Square Theatre. And it'd be nice to see if that is what's about to come, because that seems to have been so popular. It means the interactive queue elements there as well, which would be nice to see. But definitely well worth a visit in the 20th, although expect a Disney year to last around 24 months.
even when we went in October last year, we still had 15th anniversary tickets being given out. As you paid for your tickets, they're still giving those out.
They're still holding on to the past. But do head out. And if you are heading out, and you are heading out during the 20th anniversary, do let us know, because we'd love to for you to tell us what's going on with that. Okay, it's back to me, because we've got some good news as well, which I won't say too much about some of the stuff that's definitely coming as part of this, because I don't want to destroy what Kez has got coming next. But Walt Disney Company have not given, but loaned, I suppose, extended the credit loan to Disneyland Paris by another 150 million euros. They've already got 100 million euros, which they've had in the bank, and that sort of credit facility is due to expire on the 30th of September 2014. But there's a new credit agreement now, which now runs out on the 30th of September 2018, where Disney have given them an extra 150 million euros of revolving credit. Now, don't think this is, here's 150 million euros, enjoy it, do what you want with it. This is, here's 150 million euros that we're going to give to you to help you expand, but you still have to pay us back, sort of thing. So it's kind of the loan that your parents give you. You know, when you go and you need a new car and you go to your parents, they go, right, here's the loan for the car, pay us back however much you can, whenever you can. It's that sort of loan that they can pay back what they can, when they can, sort of thing. But there's certainly going to be 250 million euros that are being given, and it was said at the recent shareholders conference, or question and answer, because they sort of do these question and answers with shareholders at the resort in a sort of round a table with Philip Gass in the one of the hotels usually, and he did say that one of his main priorities is to turn Walt Disney Studios into a full day park. And it seems that now we have the funding, because the funding is specifically to help with a multi-year expansion of the studios, that we now have the funding that maybe there's going to be some great new stuff coming to the studios, particularly one attraction. And that leads us very nicely onto Kez. Look at that.
Thank seamless. So, yeah, this is something I've been really excited about since 2008, when the rumours started flying around. But there's been talk of a Ratatouille dark ride. And there was a permit that emerged 2 days after the loan for the 150 million euros was talked about. And it's appeared at the rear of the Walt Disney Studios in Paris. And Disney is still not 100% confirming anything, even though
surprise.
You've got the planning permit, you've had the concept art leaked for ages. And Philip Gass did tell his shareholders back in March last year that the Ratatouille project was real and is already well advanced. So everything is kind of falling into place. So this is kind of blatantly going to be the Ratatouille thing. The permit that's been put up says the maximum height of the construction will be 17.8 metres, which is going to be 7 metres shy of the top of the RC racer that's in the Toy Story Land. And the building area, not necessarily the building itself, but the whole area, is going to be bigger than the building that houses It's a Small World. So there's not much been actually said about the attraction, apart from it's going to be a dark ride, possibly. But some things that have been flying around in the rumour mill are things it's going to be maybe a projection-based experience utilising 3D technology, maybe using the trackless ride system of Pooh's Honey Pot in Tokyo, which I'm quite excited about because I've seen loads of videos, because Tokyo Disney is one of the big must-sees of my life. And these honeypots kind of interact and dance around with each other and stuff. It's absolutely fantastic. And also on the horizon is the Mystic Manor dark ride in Hong Kong, opening in 2013. And so they're saying that it maybe will use the same ride system, the same vehicles, but rethemed. So it might be something similar to what happened with Dinosaur and Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye, where you get the same track, same vehicles, but everything's just rethemed. And so by doing that, they're cutting costs and making it more sustainable. There you go. Also, rumoured, but it's not mentioned in the permit, there might be a restaurant, which is desperately in need in the studios because there's not enough places to eat that's actually providing good quality food. But the rumour is it's not going to be the formal dining experience that you'd expect from Gusteau's. It will be a rat-sized kitchen, which is what you see at the end of the Ratatouille film. So that'll be quite interesting to see how they manage to pull that one off. And I think that something that Disneyland Paris, because I've obviously been to Disney World and Disneyland Paris, but I haven't managed to travel to the other ones yet. But something that Disneyland Paris especially does is the detailing, and everything is so beautiful, especially in the Disneyland Park theme is outstanding. And that's something I feel is lacking in the studios. You have all these big studio buildings and they've tried to do little bits like with the little cars area, and you think, oh, that's really nice, but nothing really eye-catching and you'd say, oh wow, look at that. But from the concept art, this little Parisian area looks like it's going to be amazing. And obviously with it being set in Paris and the actual location being Paris, they can draw from all the lovely architecture and stuff, and hopefully they'll produce something really beautiful, really eye-catching, and draw a lot of people in. And with this being a dark ride, hopefully it's going to have a large capacity to get some more people flowing through the studios away from Crush's coaster, which seems to have a mental queue that kind of wraps around the studios. But we won't see this ride till at least 2014, because I reckon it's going to take about 2 years. But that is going to be a good pickup, because as we said before, the anniversary is blatantly going to go on 2 years, because they always do. So when that falls off, this will just be opening. So this little Ratatouille Land will be opening. So that will be a good pickup.
Excellent. And I hope it does come, and I hope it does happen, because as we've already said, you know, Ratatouille has been rumoured for near on 4 years, really. And we've got the Parisian street there by the side of Toy Story Playland, which goes to nowhere. And it would seem very weird if that was still to be there and nothing else was going to happen to it. So I think we can almost 90% say that it's on its way, although there's always those changes that Disney will put in. And, you know what they're like. It's always like to just throw something in there just to confuse everybody. There we go. Right, finally, there's one thing I want to mention to you, because this is sort of taking off really since the last show, when myself and Jules decided we were going on a Vinylmation rant about how annoyed we were at the lack of Vinylmation in the UK and the lack in this store and that store, etc. And we decided we would start a Vinylmation campaign to try and make people more aware of Vinylmation in the UK. And again, Craig Lucas came up with a hashtag for Twitter, which was Save UK Vinylmation. And we thought, right, okay, let's see what we can do with this. And we asked people to go to stores and take photos of Vinylmation displays. And we got what can only be described as some horrendous photos back. Seriously horrendous photos of things in small glass tubes being crammed in and boxes that were open and people having no real idea as to where they were actually supposed to be putting Vinylmation. Somewhere next to CDs, somewhere with sweets, and all that sort of stuff. And we were kind of wanted to really, really push it, and we did. And then the Disney Store president listened to the show, listened to our rant. He went to the website and read the stuff that we put up on the website. And it seems that things are starting to pick up a little bit. We had the release of Furry Friends only last week, of which didn't last very long because they did become roadkill. When there was a few issues with quality control, and they were removed from the shelves in the US, they were removed from the Disney Store online in the US, and then a few days later were removed from the store in the UK and also from the website in the UK. Did anybody get hold of any Furry Friends?
Yeah, I did. I got Patch and the little black Pegasus.
Right.
And not to brag. Oh, sorry.
You got...
That's fine. I was going to say they're perfect quality, so I had no complaints.
Yeah, not to brag, I'm currently looking on the windowsill at a set of 12. Completely perfect.
So you have a chaser?
I have a chaser.
Which you're currently selling on eBay for sort of 70 quid.
I mean, the thing is, I'm almost of the mind to just sell them and wait for them to come back out, because people are just becoming like crazy for them.
Yeah, they are. £70 a chaser went for today on eBay.
I mean, somebody's... send the Vinylmation UK Facebook page about £60 being a lot for a chaser. But I mean, I've seen chasers go for that quite often that are, you know, are series that are still available. So the fact that it's been taken off for however long doesn't surprise me too much. But I mean, a set of 12 went for $400. Now that's a set that, as far as, you know, Jim Fielding, Disney Store President, as far as Disney Store's Twitter has gone on to say, as far as they're concerned, once the issues have been resolved, we'll be back out in stores.
Yeah.
Once they've gone through and made, you know, seen which ones are good, which ones aren't, we'll then repackage those and send those back out. Right. So I think people are really panicking before they should do. But I mean, it is a really nice set of, you know, the paint on the ones I've seen in the UK are nowhere near as bad as the American ones. And they do have a slightly furry appearance.
There you go. It's mouldy or furry. I don't know which one that is. Anyway, they went away, disappeared, and Disney were going to release the Animation 2 series on the 27th of January, 2 weeks after they were released in the US. They then decided they were bringing that forward and they were going to release them this week, of which they did, and everyone went mad for the Animation 2 series. And has anybody got a full set of them?
No.
No?
We've got a few, but we did my wife Lindsay went out and bought some on Friday and ended up with a variant of Donald Duck.
So I understand.
And also the Chaser. The very controversial Chaser.
Yeah, which
of the headless horseman, which has no head. But there's a tip which I will share.
Go on.
People can crucify me for it afterwards. But because it has no head, it weighs a lot less than any other vinyl mation.
Cunning.
There you go. Opposite, so try that one.
It's the opposite effect of the Buzz Lightyear Toy Story fiasco when they come out for the same reason.
So it's much lighter than everything else. I went into the Disney store on Oxford Street yesterday to go and get myself a vinyl mation. Well, actually, I'll tell you that story in a second, because as part of this, I decided we'd try a little experiment, which is I asked everybody all over the country, which stores near you sell vinyl mation? So they all told me. So I then spent a few hours ringing each of these stores to find out just how clued up they were on vinyl mation. Now, you'll be pleased to know that every store that's supposed to sell them has heard of them. The person I spoke to knew what they were. Right. The second thing, they were able to tell me that they'd stocked, or they do stock, Vinylmation. Quite impressive. Well done. Okay. They were all able to tell me which ones they had in stock, if they had them in stock. Most had You Have a Laugh. There was some Urban 5, some Urban 6s, apparently, some Toy Story still around. Only one store had any villains in at the time. York had UK flags. But they didn't know, which I said, that's very, very unusual that you've got the UK flags. Usually they're only in the London stores. And she went, well, we're not out on the shelves in store at the moment because we don't know what the release date are. So I kind of left it there. I went, right, okay, that's fine, thank you. And they actually took my number and said they'd ring me back. And somebody else rang me back about a week later to tell me that apparently the Fairy Friends would be out next Friday, and that was a week after they'd come out. But there we go. Never mind. So we do have a few issues there. Now, were they on display was another thing I asked. You know, would I be able to come into the store and find out where they were? So this is what I found out. In most stores, yes, they were out on display. In a few stores, they weren't out on display purely for the fact they had none in stock. In fact, there were two stores I rang. They didn't have any in stock, so they weren't out on display. One store told me they weren't out on stock because they weren't sure of the release date. But I had two other stores who told me, no, they weren't out on display. And there's one store I have to tell you about in particular. And this is the one that shocked me. This was Oxford Street. Right. I rang Oxford Street and said to them, do you have any Vinylmations in stock? Yes. Are they out on display? Yes. All of them? No. I said, okay, why not? The London ones are out on display, especially the 9-inch, because they're in the sale. Okay. But all other Vinylmation are currently in the stock room downstairs. And I said, well, why is that? And their words to me were this. They currently have a sale on, and they can't justify the shelf space for those Vinylmation. Hang on.
Nice.
You're the flagship store. You are the biggest store in the whole of the country, and you're telling me that you cannot justify any shelf space for some Vinylmation. I was like, what? All the other stores. Brilliant.
I heard it's been passed on to Jim.
No, it hasn't, but it won't be there because you'll listen to this.
I mean, sorry.
There was one other store, Liverpool One, as well, I rang. They also told me they didn't have them on stage because they had a sale on.
Did you, you went into Oxford Street store yesterday.
Yes.
Did you see the 150 London 9-inch Vinylmations they had?
I did indeed. Right. Now, yeah. I went into the store yesterday, and I particularly went in to try and pick up an Animation 2, or a few Animation 2 if I could. I got into the store, and all there were millions of 9-inch London bus and taxis. And I was like, there was no 3-inch anywhere, nothing, could not see anything. I saw a manager, I asked the manager, I said to him, have you got any Vinylmation? Have you got any Animation 2? He went, we haven't got any out at the minute. I'll see if we've got any in the stock room. I don't think we have. So he sort of radioed down, and they said, no, sorry, we don't have any. We have got some UK flags, if that's any good. I said, I've got a UK flag, and I've got these 9-inch, that's no good. So they hadn't got any at all. And I was like, oh, no, I can't believe it. So I went off around the store to go and get some of the things. I picked up one of the Cars Lightning McQueen app mates for your iPad, which is cool.
Nice.
And then suddenly I got tapped on the shoulder. I turned around, there's the manager. One of the guys downstairs had found the very last Animation 2 box, had run upstairs with it, given it to the manager, and the manager had come searching around the store to find me to say, there you go, there it is, found it, found one downstairs.
Well.
Disney Magic.
So that's a bit of Disney Magic, yeah. So that I was well impressed that they had it, and I ended up with the Donald Fantasia 2000, but not the variant I've got with the dripping ears.
Saying that, though, I think there's been a bit of a mix-up, because it seems to be over here that the one you've got is the variant.
Oh.
Because it looks like nearly everybody that's got a Donald Duck so far, most of them have been the one without the rein. But in the US, the one with the rein is the common one, and the variant is one with no rein.
Wow.
So that's
interesting.
As far as we can tell, because I mean it's only like literally based on the Vanimation community that we speak to, or you can see on Facebook.
Yeah.
But on people that have actually managed to get a Donald from any of the UK stores or from online, most of them have been without rein. There are some out there, so you might actually have the hard ones to find in the UK.
Wow, there you go. It's going on eBay for £60.
Fab. It's a variant, 80 quid.
I have a variant. Wow, I have a variant. I finally have a variant. How good is that? That's brilliant. I didn't get the variant. I want the variant sign from Park 6.
Yeah.
I've got the Magic Kingdom Epcot one, and I want the variant now.
I can't just... I mean, that's gone for silly money before. I can't justify $150 or whatever on a Funimation, but it is very cool.
No, definitely not. Right, OK, that is all of our news and rumours. But before we move on, I want to... yesterday I was really lucky, and I had... I was honestly like a giddy school kid. You've never seen anything like it before in my life. I was invited to go to the press screening of the new Muppets movie. And I'm not allowed to give an official review yet, because I'm, but it's amazing, okay? Genuinely, I laughed so much. It is genuinely amazing. And it is just brilliant. And the soundtrack is brilliant. And just the whole film is brilliant. But anyway, while I was there, they had a camera set up at the front. And they said, before we start the film, we want to do a piece to camera. And I was like, oh, they're never going to bring Kermit out. Please tell me they're going to bring Kermit out. They're going to do something. Okay. That would be amazing. It's me with my phone out getting ready. Come on, come on, come on. And it turns out it wasn't at all. They're doing the Neverending Manumana on the website. If you go to disney.co.uk/Muppets, you can record basically yourself saying Manumana to camera, and it's endless. And they basically did an Manumana with all 1,400 people sat in the cinema. But you could hear the adults going Manumana like this, and the kids in the audience going Manumana, and you could tell this guy with the microphone was starting to get quite annoyed with the kids who weren't doing it properly. So that's apparently on the website, but the reason I mention it is because we'll give you a review. We'll be reviewing it up on the website as well over the next week or so. But the music is brilliant, and I thought what we'd do is, in between this bit and our next segment, which we're going to do, we'd play you one of the tracks from the new movie. So I've got a choice, and I'm going to give you the choice as to which one we're going to play. All right, you guys can choose. It's a choice between Life's a Happy Song, which is 4.5 minutes, and that's the song right at the very beginning of the show. I could play Are You a Man or a Muppet, which comes halfway through the play. Or I can do... we can have the classic Rainbow Connection done by Miss Piggy and Kermit. What are you going for?
I like Are You a Man or Muppet.
Man or a Muppet.
Because I have heard a little bit of that.
Okay. Kez?
I'm a Rainbow Connection girl, I'm afraid.
Oh, no. Go on. What are you going for, Kimmy?
Right, it's got to be the Kermit and Miss Piggy duet, Charlotte.
So we're going Rainbow Connection?
Yep.
Right.
Yep. This is what happens with girls, Adam.
You see, I'm going Man or a Muppet, so we've got a draw here. So I tell you what, we'll do Man or a Muppet now, and we'll put Rainbow Connection at the end of the show.
Yeah, save the best for last.
Yeah, or people have turned off by then. Anyway, all right, so here we go. Are you a man or a Muppet?
Gary, I've gone home. I love you, but you need to decide. Are you a man or a Muppet?
I reflect on my reflection, and I ask myself the question, what's the right direction to go? I don't know. Am I a man, or am I a Muppet?
Am I a Muppet?
If I'm a Muppet, then I'm a very manly Muppet.
Very manly Muppet.
Am I a Muppet?
Muppet.
Or am I a man?
if I'm a man, that makes me a Muppet of a man.
A Muppet of a man.
I look into these eyes and I don't recognize the one I see inside. It's time for me to decide, am I a man or am I a Muppet?
Am I a Muppet?
If I'm a Muppet, well, I'm a very manly Muppet.
Very manly.
Muppet, or am I a man?
Am I a man?
If I'm a man, that makes me a Muppet of a man.
A Muppet of a man.
Here I go again. I'm always running out of time. I think I've made up my mind. Now I understand who I am.
Sun that comes up, comes the question, where to go out on this town? Downtown Disney. It's like hitting the hot spots of every happening city on the planet. Restaurants you've read about. Shops you've dreamed about. Clubs that cut your curiosity loose. Downtown Disney. In a city of choices, the metropolis of fun.
Right, final segment for this show then, and it was something that I suddenly had this idea, having heard about Disney getting all of this money over in Disneyland Paris, the €250 million, and I thought €250 million is a lot of money. It's a lot of money to anyone, let alone to a theme park. So if Disney were to give you €250 million to spend in the Walt Disney Studio Park Paris, what on earth would you spend it on and why? So I'm going to leave my ideas until last. We'll go alphabetical order again. So, Kez, here is €250 million. What are you spending it on to improve Walt Disney Studios?
Well, I definitely think the studios needs better food. That's one of my biggest things. When I'm at Disneyland Paris, the food at some of the, like, the normal-priced restaurants is not always that good. So I think it needs some... That's why I think this Ratatouille thing is a good idea, because we need some decent restaurants. And I would like to see this Ratatouille ride. Another thing they need to invest in, this is going to sound really random, but is ropes. Because when they get Disney characters out, the stampedes that ensue and small children getting crushed is ridiculous. And if they just put queue lines up for the characters, then the Disney magic wouldn't be ruined. But yeah, so my main thing though would be better food and more interactive experiences within like the eateries. So something like the Adventurers Club. Sorry to hop back onto that, but something. So you've got Remy coming round, which I think is sweet. And I was like, oh, when the first time I saw that, I thought, oh, that's really cool, that's amazing. But something like the Adventurers Club, and no, it'd be hard to do in Paris because obviously the language barriers and jokes aren't, or we don't have the same sense of humour everywhere. But if you could tweak some kind of interactive eating environment, that would be my thing.
Okay, that sounds good. So you're going for existing things plus ropes.
Ropes.
Plus food. Ropes is very important. Like,
it is.
I reckon you can get a lot of rope for €250 million.
There was this mental thing when we were there, but it wasn't at the studios, but it was at Disneyland Park. It was the first time that Jack and Sally had appeared there. And they were two American people. One of them was actually a cosplayer. And the guy looking after them was an English cast member.
Yeah.
And everyone, they were queuing, you know, as you come off Phantom Manor, there's a little graveyard. And there's that kind of like crypt in the middle with the steps going up to it. They were appearing in there for the signing, and people were killing each other around that thing to get to them, and it was just a nightmare. And in the end, the characters had to walk away and get escorted away because it just got so mental.
Wow.
So Joe and I and this English cast member started forming a queue line and teaching people how to queue. And then, then the English cast member went and got some rope, and we're holding it along the side of the thing and teaching people to queue. And then loads of foreign people who weren't English.
Funny that, being foreign.
Yeah, I know. But no, but if they're in front, they might have been French, so technically not foreign. But
and I was. It's like Scottish people, they're going to be foreign too, aren't they?
And they started trying to barge up the side of the queue line. They're like, no, 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 sorry, right down the back of the line. This line went all the way out through Frontierland. It was hilarious. So yeah, rope is a very good thing.
So your claim to fame is the invention of queuing at Disney parks.
Yes.
Right, okay. So you go for rope and queuing. I liked rope and queuing. Right, let's go to Kimmy. What have we got?
Right, well, I got a bit carried away with this idea. Apart from the obvious things like take it away from France and move it to Yorkshire.
Disneyland Yorkshire, we love
exactly,
that.
Exactly, Disneyland Yorkshire.
Please put all arms and feet inside Carriage at all times. That'd be great.
Well, we've got plenty of rooms. We'll just get rid of Lake District, but just, you know.
Have you got plenty of rope?
Well, Kez will have to lend me rope. But then I thought, well, we could build like a weatherproof globe around the top of it to prevent all the rain coming in.
Because €250 million.
I told you, I got carried away.
You know,
I don't know
dodgy
the value
builders.
Of money. Then there was an absolute blindly obvious thing, improving the marketing department. But I think that was just too obvious to go for.
So and €250 million wouldn't do that either.
Well, no, true. So I got a bit carried away, and I don't know if I've overspent, but I'll talk you through it. I got a bit excited.
Go on.
And I've created a whole new land for the Muppets.
Right, yeah, go on.
Everybody loves the Muppets. Right, what this did involve... an updated version of Muppets 3D, because that's just a must.
Okay.
Right. Comedy club, run by Fonzie.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
Restaurant, run by Chef. So I'll improve the food for Kez, because Kez loves food, so we'll have good food in there.
Yeah.
Get rid of that horrible, horrible Light Motors action stunt show.
Ooh, okay.
Change it to the Godzilla and Camilla stunt show.
Okay.
Don't you remember that when you used to?
Yeah, I do.
Then a nice little dark ride for the kids. Miss Piggy and Kermit Love Tunnel.
Right.
Where we'll ride through their relationship on a swan type Muppet boat.
I don't want to know why Nick's laughing. I'm guessing.
No, please don't.
And my big attraction. Now you've got to think it's sort of. It's called the Great Muppet Movie Ride. It's sort of like going to be half simulator, half roller coaster, like a bit like the Harry Potter ride. But instead of the movie scenes, like in Florida, it's the Muppets acting out famous movie scenes.
Which was a plan for Hollywood Studios, wasn't it?
It was, but I'm going to put superfan spin on it and make them like really bad films rather than good films.
Avatar.
Exactly.
Well, my estimates, I reckon you've overspent by about €80 million.
€80 million?
I don't know the value of it.
I reckon you go for a simple dark ride, I reckon you're going €100 million. I think you're looking at probably 150 easily for the Great Muppet Movie Ride. €50 million for your first one, whatever that was.
Updated version of the Muppets 3D.
That's right, yeah. So €50 million for that. You're looking, I reckon, €10 million for your restaurant. €10 million for update of Light Motor Action. Most of the structure's there, so that's fine. And then €10 million for whatever your other one was before your dark ride. So I reckon you're about €80 million over, at least.
I need merchandise shops as well. Don't forget my shop.
Oh, well, in that case, you can have that, and then you get your €80 million back. Done. There we go. I kind of went simple with stuff that's already happening and then adapting stuff that is already there and then building something new. Ratatouille I've put in, I think that has to go in, and I'm going to keep that there, and that's going to be the inclusion of the Ratatouille attraction, the shop and the restaurant all in there together. I've also gone for a great movie ride style thing, but we've already got the tram tour at Walt Disney Studios, which quite frankly is terrible. It's a big waste of space. It's not nice. And in Universal Studios in Hollywood, they have a tram tour behind the movies, and you get to go to different sets. So my idea is, along the tram tour route, is to build show buildings, of which you enter, and it is different scenes from different movies. So you might go into the first scene, and as you go through, you go into a Pirates of the Caribbean room, but the live action. So you go in, and there's boats, and there might be one of them sinks, and all that sort of stuff. So it's quite big, grand scale sort of thing. And then you might go through into another live action version. So like, say, we go into a Tron room and you see some stuff from Tron, and then you might go into somewhere else. So each room basically has a scene from a different movie, so it's the great movie tram tour basically. And then I went Muppets as well, because there's not you can never have too much Muppets love.
Exactly.
And I was going Muppets with Kez's idea of not enough food and your idea of Muppets, and there was originally a plan to build a Muppets restaurant in Walt Disney World, and you would basically be the idea was that it was the rats that cooked your food in the kitchen, and rather than your waiters and waitresses bringing your food out, it was actually brought out on the back of a train, and the train basically went out of the kitchen and it went through all of the tables, and then it stopped at the table whose food it was being served. You took it off and the train went back into the kitchen again basically, and it went all the way around the outside of the restaurant. So I would sort of bring that back and have the Muppets restaurant in there as well, which would be quite cool, something a little bit different. So there were the three things. I thought 250 million, I can't get too carried away. So Ratatouille, great movie tour on tour, and Muppets, and that would pretty much be it. That'd be everything.
Well, I couldn't work out when you asked the question whether or not you wanted the 250 million to include the Ratatouille ride or
no,
not.
It was completely up to you.
Okay, because I worked it out in two ways, because Ratatouille apparently has a cost of 150 million euros.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, I mean, that kind of wiped a bit out. If you gave me an additional 250 million to spend after that, and I've really, it took me a long time doing this, probably a lot more time than I should have spent. I got very geeky looking at prices of things and all sorts. But what I would spend if I had 250 million euros on, I would spend 150 million on the Indiana Jones adventure. Now, that is, I mean, I've never been on it. I've always wanted to go on it, and that's one of the reasons I want to go to California. But since they opened the Temple of Peril all those years ago, there's a huge plot of land next to it which has just been left there, and the whole reason for that land being there was for this ride, which didn't get made because of all the, you know, the problems with the budgets when it first opened and trying to get the studios open and all that. So it's always been left by the wayside. Apparently that's 150 million to build it and maintain it. And I think to me, Adventureland is a land that just lacks attractions. It's a lovely theme to it. You've got Skull Rock and you've got Pirates of the Caribbean, obviously, but it's just always the one that I go to, kind of go on the rides and get out again. There's just not enough to kind of keep me in there. I think you need a big ride like that to kind of just improve on that kind of section. They reckon 50 million euros would be the cost to upgrade Star Tours, to make it Star Tours 2.
Yeah.
And the fact that Disneyland Paris now looks to be the only park to be sticking with the original Star Tours, while Tokyo and Hong Kong and obviously both the American parks have all or in the stages of upgrading it, means they really should kind of look at that, especially as the ride is, you know, 20 years old now.
Yeah.
Which is almost the age that the American ones were when they, I think they were 22 and 23 when they first opened to when they closed to make Star Tours 2. So, I mean, it's getting to that age now where the technology is a bit done. It could be could do a bit of a revamp. So that's another 50 million. I put 10 million euros on updating the backlot tour with new scenes. I mean, after hearing your idea for the backlot tour was brilliant, but I do think they should just get rid of a few things they've got there already, and just even if they stick one more scene in, replace one of the scenes, because it's been the same since day one.
Get rid of Rain and of Fire does, that nobody knew about when it came out and still don't
know
about now.
That was the thing. I remember going on that tour before the film came out and hearing about the film, and in, oh, look, fire. And the set looks great, but I've never seen the film. I've got no interest in seeing the film.
But I've seen the film, and it's rubbish. The film is total. And I'm kind of worried that that's what's going to happen with Avatar Land, as we were talking about earlier.
It's okay. It won't be anywhere near as bad as that. I had another €30 million on replacing Animagique in the studios with either Filmagic, which is my personal favourite, or, depending on how well the film did in Europe, Muppet Vision 3D. Because the complete lack of anything Muppets in Disneyland Paris does astound me. Mm. Because
I
have
the picture's got Muppets in there.
Well, the thing is, you know, I mean, apparently in Paris, or like in France, the Muppets were huge. And they still are kind of looked at quite fondly. So I think the film will do quite well. But the fact that they've had the license to use them in the parks. They've got the Bunsen, Dr. Bunsen and Beaker. What I call the animated puppets that come around.
The mobile lab.
Yes, that's the mobile lab. I mean, it's stuck in nothing in Hong Kong or Tokyo at the moment.
I think it's Hong Kong at the moment, yeah.
Mm. And it's never made its way over to France. And the fact that it's done California, it's done Orlando, and it's gone on to the Orient, and it's completely bypassed France. It's time to at least have some kind of Muppet theme there. Otherwise, I'm never going to get my Muppet Star Wars figures that I'm desperately after.
So this is just pure selfish on your part.
Possibly. And I worked out on that budget, I had $10 million left over, which I'd want to just spend on the actual parks themselves, especially Disneyland. Because although, Kes is quite right, it's probably, compared to Magic Kingdom at least, you know, architecturally and the little details are just exquisite. But when you go around certain places, it is horrible. Mm. The lack of paint on things where it's rubbed away, there's holes in the floor, cracks in the pavement, bushes that have been, like, obviously gnawed through by animals and all sorts. The worst one for me is Alice's Curious Maze. The first time Lindsay had gone there to Disneyland Paris, Alice is one of her favourite Disney films. And I thought, oh, you know, the maze, it's at no other park, and you know, you've got the leaping fountains where the water jumped from, you know, jumped across the maze, and the Queen of Hearts would come up and shout off La Tête or whatever it was. And we went there, and none of it worked. The waltz effect didn't work, the Queen of Hearts didn't pop up, the cards didn't pop up. And I thought, what's happened? And he was walking around, and it just looked like desecrated. Everything looked like, when you look to the floor, just looks horrible, and you can see where it hadn't been maintained.
Yeah.
And it just seems that when something happens in the Magic Kingdom in Florida, it gets dealt with. Mm. You never see anything that looks horrible or dirty, or, you know, it's always clean. And it just seems like they just haven't got the budget to stretch in France for whatever reason. So that would be the last thing I think they should spend the money on.
Okay. That's everything. That's all of them. I like those. It seems there seems to be a sort of Muppet theme running through a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's only Kes that doesn't have any Muppet love, apparently.
And I even left out Tron for the Muppets. Wow. And I love Tron. But I love
that's proper dedication,
well, so.
That is.
Yeah.
Viva la Muppets.
Yes, something along those lines, definitely. Well, thank you very much for joining me, you three. Basically, we need to let everybody know what's going to happen now, because it's voting time. These guys have been on today to try their hardest to try and win your votes. And what you will find, if you are listening to this via your iPod or any other generic MP3 player, then you will be able to head over to disneybrit.com, and there will be a post which will have the live show or the show posted on it. But also at the bottom of that will be a poll that you will be able to vote on. And same as last time, it will be one vote per day for a week. So one vote per day for a week. And basically, we do monitor those very, very closely. We don't want there to be any cheating. Anybody sat there with IP cloaks and those sort of things, just trying to enter vote after vote after vote, because we do watch them very, very closely. And anything that we think looks suspicious is flagged up to us, and we do take a very close look at it to make sure there is no cheating going on. But these three guys have tried their absolute hardest tonight and sort of getting all your votes over the past week or so, and we don't want anybody to sort of jeopardise their chances. So please do vote on the website. You can vote once. You can vote once from your home computer. You can vote once from your work computer and your mobile. Basically, it tracks your IP address. And once you've done that, you can then vote every single day. And like I say, it's for a week. So the voting will open. Will be open now. And it will remain open if I just double check my calendar. You're listening to this a week after this has come out, you're in trouble because it will have gone by then. But it will close on the 25th of January at 11:59 p.m. So that's basically 7 days people have got in which to vote, and they'll be able to do that as soon as the poll goes live, basically on the website. If you want to know more about these guys, do head over to DisneyBrit.com, and each of them have got a post on there telling you a little more about who they are, and you can sort of go and read that and find out a little bit more about each of these guys. But that pretty much is it. That's the end of the show. We want to thank our sponsors, touringplans.com. Do head over to touringplans.com. Do check out all of the wonderful things they've got over there. And I will warn you now, touringplans.com's price is going up by $1. It's going up in the next week. So make sure if you are thinking about getting a year subscription, you go and do it now, because you'll save yourself that dollar. Thank you to Kez, to Kimmy, and to Nick for all joining me this week. It's been great. I've enjoyed myself. Which has been good. Make sure you email us your questions, comments and suggestions at podcast@disneybrit.com. You can also ring our voicemail number, which is the US number of 407-545-7980. Check out disneybrit.com. Have all of the things that have been going over there. You can check out all the latest information about what's coming up with 2013 itineraries for the cruise line, as well as all the news from Disneyland Paris and Walt Disney World. Check out our Facebook pages, our Disney Brit fan page. You can friend up myself, Juz, Kez, Kimmy or Nick, they're all on there. Don't forget Mouse Mag came out a couple of weeks ago. That was issue number 5, and there's loads of great stuff in there, including the Panorama Magique balloon over at Disneyland Paris and some other bits and pieces in there too. You can also listen to our radio station, OrlandoSkyRadio.com. you can listen to it online, you can listen to it through iTunes. Do go over there and check that out. You'll find that there's shows on there, shows that you don't get anywhere else, including Craig Duncan's Soul Show and some US shows as well, which you'll be able to listen to that you wouldn't normally be able to listen to unless you were listening to Orlando Sky Radio. Check out our sister podcast, Iron Orlando. Unfortunately, due to the freak weather, Juz had wind up north, and it cut off his internet connection, and we weren't able to do Iron Orlando, but it is coming back next week, I can promise you. Also, discot.net. Don't forget to go over there, sign up there, and take part with what's going on over there. And that's the end of the show, which leaves me with nothing else to say other than the next show will be out on Wednesday, the 1st of February, where we will have a new Disney Brit co-host. And you will have all completed your votes, and it'll all be quite cool. So until then, we'll see you.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know they're wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me.
It's something.